Well, it's a joy to be here with you guys today, and I pray that we will be encouraged through the word that the Lord wants us to grab hold of, not only for the Christmas season, but for life. Because, as you know, our world has changed significantly since the first birth announcement of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we remember what the shepherds told the what the angels told the shepherds, the very first thing when they saw the shepherds, they were filled with fear. And they said, "Fear not. We bring you good tidings of great joy, wanting to bring peace for all of us." And that means today as well. So you bow your head with me, please, so we can pray and ask the Lord to bless this message. Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, that you would just breathe life into this message. Father, I pray that as we look to the Christmas story, Father, that, Lord, it won't just be a story, but this will be truths that we can just have buried deep in our hearts, then when life seems to go out of control, Father, we can just cling to the truth of your scriptures. So go before me now, Lord, and again, may you be glorified and may you breathe life into this message. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, the celebration of Christmas has certainly changed since the first celebration over 2,000 years ago. It can be very difficult to stay focused on the real meaning of Christmas, to keep our hearts guarded and protected against all of the secularism that has invaded our culture, against the lies that have invaded our culture, and against the enemy who is radically trying to destroy not only Christmas, but us as Christians as well. The enemy is trying and doing a pretty good job of robbing us for the peace that we have as born-again believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We seem to get so distracted, especially during Christmas season. Everything is vying for our attention, and before we know it, we find ourselves just flooded with a bunch of different emotion, and peace is probably one of the last things that would define our lives. Greg Laurie shares a story about a mother who was running around from store to store on Christmas Eve to get the last-minute Christmas gifts. I'm sure we've all been there, right? Suddenly, she realized that she had lost track of her 3-year-old son. In a panic, she retraced her steps, and she found her little guy with his nose pressed up against a frosted window, just gazing at a beautiful manger scene. When he heard his mother shout out his name, he said, "Mommy, Mommy, look, it's baby Jesus in the hay." This stressed-out mother grabbed her son and jerked him away, saying, "We don't have time for that. Can't you see that Mommy is trying to get ready for Christmas?" Doesn't that describe a lot of us? Isn't that sometimes where we find the tone of our homes going? We've got to have everything perfect because we're getting ready for Christmas. And that is not what the Lord intended when he brought that good news. It isn't always something really huge that's going to get our focus off of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we can find ourselves being filled with dread and with fear so easily. We can start off with very good intentions. We want to keep Christ in Christmas. Even if it kills us, we're going to keep Christ the focus of Christmas. But then we get caught up. We need to buy the presents for the loved ones, parties to go to, dinners, celebration. And we spend money that we don't have. We spend time we don't have. We spend all of our patience. And again, another Christmas season where Jesus Christ is put on the back burner. And I know I get guilty of that as well. But I also know that if I can remember to seek my Savior first on a daily basis, if I can ponder the manger of Bethlehem and the angels who proclaimed peace and goodwill toward men, the wise men who followed the star that led them to their Savior, and the cross where my Savior's blood was poured out for me, Christmas can become alive, and it can keep me settled. But I have to admit, it has been a struggle at times. So a question I have for you, is the Christmas season alive for you? Is the birth of your Savior something that is real and true for you today? I want to encourage you to guard your hearts, not to allow it to become hardened, cynical, or jaded to the Christmas message. Don't reduce the Christmas message to a childhood story or just a fable. Jesus' birth brings hope and joy and peace. The Christmas message is still as important today as it was then. I've heard so many people say over the past that they are just so tired of this Christmas thing. But what does that mean? Jesus' birth was not meant just to be a Christmas thing. Isaiah 9:6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will rest upon his shoulders. and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Every description of Jesus' name deals with an important area of our own lives. We can count on our Savior to meet us where we need to be met. We have the wisdom that we need on a daily basis if we seek his face to keep us settled in this crazy world. It's not just a story. It's the tender hand of God giving us his Son, who is truly our everything. If you would open up your word and turn to Luke chapter 2, I want to read quickly verses 8 through 20. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields, keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. Look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For today a Savior, who is the Messiah of the Lord, was born to you in the city of David. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in cloth and lying in a feeding trough." Suddenly there was a multitude of heavenly hosts with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to people that he favors." When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they hurried off, and they found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the feeding trough. And after seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary, she was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen, all they had heard, and all that they had been told. Charles Spurgeon says, "Our Lord Jesus Christ, he was born of lowly parents, laid in a manger and wrapped in swaddling clothes. The principalities and the powers in the heavenly places are in commotions. Others may not have noticed that the King of Kings was born, but the heavens were speaking. Just like in our world today, others may not notice or even acknowledge the King of Kings, but to us who know the King of Kings, it is absolutely transforming. Our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is life-changing if we allow it to be. It's in the darkness of the night while these lowly shepherds were watching the sheep when all of a sudden an angel of the Lord stood before them." And I'd like you to kind of imagine that scene for a moment. These guys were just out doing their normal job. It was dark. I mean, maybe it was just a really boring night. Maybe they had to chase off a couple of wolves, you know, or get a couple of sheep and round them back up and put them back in the little pen they're supposed to be in. But probably another just mundane, boring night, cold or whatever. Maybe they couldn't sleep. Maybe they were busy talking when all of a sudden these shepherds heard the most incredible news that man could ever hear when the glory of the Lord shone all around the angel that was bringing them this good news. With this angel came God's glory, his shining majesty. The black of night was suddenly changed into God's glorious light as God's glory shone all around them. In John 8:12, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." These guys are terrified, but the angel quickly assured them, "Don't be afraid. I am bringing good tidings of great joy, which is going to be for all people. If you believe, if I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the salvation that he brings, that is great joy. And we should be the most joyous of all people in this world because we have the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ." These shepherds who were filled with fear needed encouragement, and that's exactly what the angel brought. Good news is here. The gospel message brings joy, not fear, and this joy is for all people. As the angel gives the shepherds directions as to where to locate the Savior, suddenly now appearing with angel is a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." And again, could you imagine that scene? I mean, they must think they're crazy. You know, okay, first, am I really seeing what I'm seeing? And then am I really hearing or seeing the glory shining all around? And now to hear these multitudes proclaiming, you know, there's peace, glory to God in the highest. What is happening? I wonder if they were trying to nudge one another awake or pinching one another to see, is this really true? And praise God for us, it is truth. R.C. Sproul says, this This is the angelic army of heaven. But this army that is often associated biblically with those who fight for God are not declaring war. Instead, they are singing songs of peace. And this peace that they are singing about is a lasting peace, a peace between men and God. To those who hear and respond to the Messiah, the war is over. The war is over. Peace has become incarnated in the Prince of Peace who came to reconcile us with God. He is our peace, as Ephesians 2:14 proclaims. So as soon as the angels departed from heaven, the shepherds couldn't wait to go find the Savior. They made it widely known what they had seen and what they had heard. Those lowly shepherds were the first people to proclaim the truth about Jesus Christ. They told everyone, although they weren't thought of much in their culture. People listened to them and marveled at the truth that they shared with them about the Savior of the world who came to bring peace. The shepherds went back to their lives as usual, but I am certain, just like with our own lives that have been touched with the Savior, there is now a new song of praise in their heart for what God had said and what God had done. I imagine that these men continued to shepherd sheep, still had a low place in society, and still struggled with everyday life. But now something is different. Something has happened to them when they saw the Lord Jesus Christ. Joy, hope, and peace were theirs because a Savior was born for them, and they believed it. How has the birth and the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ impacted your life personally? The same message the shepherds received is for us today as well. We too are encouraged not to fear, but to trust and to tell others about our Savior. We are living in an extremely difficult and different world. I am sure for many of us, fear has gripped us, at least for a minute, over the last few years. There have been tragic shootings happening in places where we used to be safe, shootings in elementary schools and high schools, movie theaters, holiday parties, concerts, terrorists wanting to destroy the United States, political unrest, the eruption of racism, severe floods and earthquakes and fires, and those are the huge things. But what about the little things that interrupt our lives, financial ruin, sicknesses, deaths of loved ones? Those things can really cause us to get gripped with fear. We start to look around and take these things that are happening in this world so personally. What about me? What about my loved ones? What's going to happen to me tomorrow? Am I going to be okay? What does my future look like? The unknown can keep us fearful and in bondage if we allow it to. But His peace can flood our hearts and our minds if we allow it to as well. In John 14:27, Scripture says this. Actually, these are the words of Jesus. He says, "Peace I leave with you. It's my peace that I want to give to you. I don't give it to you as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid." Now, we might look at that scripture and think, well, that's easy for Jesus to say because he's God. You know, or he knows that he'll be with his disciples who he was giving this message to. But you see, that's meant for us too. God has given us his peace. And the best peace that we can have is being reconciled with him. Because he can truly be the anchor of our soul, despite how crazy this world gets. Fear is real. We have real accounts in the Word of God where godly men and women were just terrified and filled with fear. But as we read and we see them trust in the Lord and let go of that fear, they gain courage and strength to face whatever was going to be before them. A few years ago, one of our dear friends, Jimmy and Janice Arate, lost their nephew in the terrorist attack in San Bernardino, which was at a Christmas party, basically. Michael left behind a wife and children and many family members that loved him a lot. He loved God. He served in his church faithfully. His eternal life was secure. He knew that, and he shared the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. His life, being secure in Christ, brought so much comfort to his family. Now, it didn't mean that they didn't grieve or cry or ask God why, but deep underneath there was that settledness, knowing where Michael was. when that happened, I was kind of shaken to the core as well. I mean, you're going to your normal day at work, and all of a sudden, life has changed forever. You know, these crazy people that are filled with hate who need our prayers because they don't know the love of Christ like we do. But my life started to get a little, not fearful, but I started to take a little more caution. I remember going to the movies right after that happened, and I took my four grandchildren and my daughter and I. We went to go see some cartoon. But as we walked into the theater, I'm looking all around. And I made sure that Jamie was on one side and I was on the other side, and our babies were right in the middle, and we knew where the exits were in case somebody came in to the theater with a gun. Now, when in the world did that ever happen? When in our history have we ever been fearful to go to the movie theater thinking we're never going to come home because some cuckoo is going to come in and shoot us up and kill us? Our world is different. You see, and what happens if that does happen? You know, I was going through some really good conversations with the Lord. You know, okay, I can't run as quick as I used to anymore, Lord, but I could just shield my kids. I can jump on them. You know, or what happens if I do save my babies and I die and now they're going to be traumatized because now grandma's dead, you know, on them or whatever. I had to filter through all that silly stuff that my mind was getting racked with and get back to the reality of if someone takes my life and my family is left to grieve because they love Christ too, they know we're both going to be reunited again. And that gave me a peace. As silly as that sounds at the moment, that gave me a peace. My soul was being anchored again to the truth of who God is and what my relationship with him means for me personally and for my loved ones as well. 1 John 5:13 says, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." We don't have to be fearful if we can cling to the truth of God's word. That is what settles us. That's what gives us hope. That's what secures our eternity. If we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we believe the words that he says, we've given that to our own lives, and we trust in him, our eternal life is secure. We don't have to flip-flop back and forth thinking, what's going to happen if I die today? What's going to happen if they die? We know where we're going. We know who holds our lives in the palm of his hands. See, but it has to be real for you, just as it has to be real for me. It's not just words on a page. We have to become and stay women who are in the Word of God. It's imperative for us to know and believe that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith, to keep our mind set on eternity and to abide with him on a daily basis. I read somewhere, and I agree with this statement, when fear of God is greater than the fear of man, peace, hope, and joy will abound. The fear of the Lord is based on a deep understanding of who he is and how loved we are by him, how gracious and merciful he is, how unexplainable his ways are, and how he wants our lives to be filled with hope and peace as we trust in him, despite the fact that we live in enemy's territory. We need to remember, sweet sisters, that this world is not our home, and the enemy is desperately wreaking havoc as his time on this earth is winding up. We have an incredible promise that as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can have boldness and confidence to overcome the bondage of fear that the enemy wants to keep us locked up in. God gave us the emotion of fear. It can be helpful at times. It makes us conscious of things around us. But if it is left unchecked, it can paralyze us by listening to the enemy's voice instead of believing in our God. The Apostle Paul was concerned about his beloved Timothy. We remember in 2 Timothy when he said, "Don't be fearful. God did not give you a spirit of fear, but he gave you a spirit to have a sound mind. Don't be fearful or timid or shy." Paul was passing the baton on to Timothy, and these were some of the last words that he gave to this young man. "You continue to go forth. Don't be fearful. The world is nuts, and it's going to get worse. But I want you to continue to be steadfast in the Lord Jesus Christ." 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Paul is telling this to Timothy. "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of selves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to their parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without any self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people, you, Timothy, you, Christian, turn away. Verses 12 and 13 says, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, but evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Paul, giving these final words to Timothy, he can make Timothy probably even more fearful. You know, you want me not to be afraid, but you're telling me all this stuff that the world's going to continue to get worse and worse? Paul said, yeah, it is. And we need to be warned, just as Timothy was, because we need to cling to the Lord. It could seem like this is a message that Paul is giving Timothy with no hope. But Timothy's hope was going to be in Jesus and Jesus alone, just like Jesus is our own hope. Paul didn't leave him with flowery words, gushy feelings. Instead, he shares the truth that he would need to stay strong in Jesus. And this is what he says. So, Timothy, this is what you do in verses 14 through 17. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and you've been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's our same exhortation that Paul would give us today too. I am sure fear filled Timothy's life many times, but as he persevered, he continued to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. God has not given up on us or left us alone or stranded. He desires for us to have our spirits revived, just as Paul wanted Timothy's revived. The truth of his word, the presence of the Holy Spirit within us, is our hope in this sin-cursed world. The Holy Spirit will build us up in him. He will refresh us. He will restore us. He will transform us as we increase in our faith, and he will give us the peace that we seek even in this unchanging world. As we think of the dark black night as the shepherds were tending the sheep, the moment of the glory of the Lord shone all around them, they began to see. Every beam of light shined for Jesus. All the glory was for Jesus. Our God allows different things into our lives to draw us closer to him, to get to gaze upon him more intently. He places various things in our lives that he will use to draw us to himself, that we too will fall on our faces before him and worship the Prince of Peace. As we face fear in the strength of the Lord, fear has no power over us. Fear will not control us. As believers, Christ lives in us, and as we focus on his perfect love and his truth, we will then enjoy his perfect peace in the middle of every fearful situation. 1 John 4:18 is the promise for each and every one of us. There is no fear in love, for perfect love drives out fear. I read somewhere that there are 365 references for fear not or be not afraid in the Word of God. That is one for every day of the year. So any day that you find yourself being gripped with fear, go to God's word. Ask the Holy Spirit to remind you of the peace that is already yours because Jesus died to give it to you. Embrace the eternal life that God has already given to you as you have a relationship with him. And let him use those fearful times that we all struggle with to draw you closer to your Savior. So you see the love of your Savior. So your faith will grow and you will learn how to trust him even more. What hope are you giving your children, your grandchildren, your nieces, your nephews, younger ones in this crazy world? My babies know exactly what's going on in the world. And my babies know exactly who's going to take care of them. Our God, my God, will take care of you too. He will fill you with peace if you allow him to. Fear not. He has given us joy and so much love and the truth of his word that we can cling to and know that it's real because he died to make it real for us. Amen? Amen. God bless you.
message. We need to sit at his feet first before we do anything else this season. So I get to welcome our pastor, Pastor.